I would have known that, had I? All right. Good morning. I am straying this morning from our normal text once again. We should be in Galatians chapter 4 this morning. With all the hecticness, is that a word? Hecticness of the prior week. It is now. with all the hecticness of the prior week, and I'm sure each and every one of us had a very busy week getting ready for yesterday. I thought I'd go back into something that I had taught on once before. I'm not sure if it was here or not, but so if I were to have plans this week to go to Macy's or the Men's Warehouse or JCPenney and buy myself some new clothes and go see the local plastic surgeon for a tummy tuck and a other tucks, other parts of the body, and go to the hairstylist and get those little extensions in my hair, different colors. Oh, and a nose job. I need a nose job real bad. And if I were to do that and then come to church next Sunday, am I still me? I see. Even though I go and do a whole new creation on myself, I'm still me? Even if I come looking like Tom or Jerry or Tom and Jerry, I like that. I would still be me. Because who's doing the work? My barber down the street. My plastic surgeon in the hospital. What else was I going to do? Hair, that's my barber. We're going to talk this morning about being a new creation in Christ. And in order for us to be that new creation, it's not us, but it's Him. So Ryan read this morning in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning at verse 11, to pick up the context, and we're going to look this morning at verse 16 through the end of the chapter. So if you would, follow along with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse 16. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know Him in this way no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away, behold, new things have come. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were making an appeal through us, we beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made Him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Let's pray. Father, I pray that You would give me the words to say this morning that Your Holy Spirit can use to change the hearts of men, to bolster our knowledge of who You are and how You work. And Father, that we might see that in and of ourselves, we are nothing. Father, may You take control this morning as we commit this time to You. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Paul says, therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh. It is so tough for us to get out of our natural way of viewing things. We will blame people according to the flesh. We will excuse people as being according to the flesh. But sometimes and most times we just don't view people, especially view Christian people, more or less even our family members, family of family members, as being according to the Spirit. I mean, Joey does something wrong, there he is, reverting back to his old self again. We talked this morning about forgiveness and how when Joey does whatever Joey does, as good Christian people, we'll be there to forgive him when he comes and asks for it. Until then, we might as well be Amish and just kind of kick him out and not think of him as even part of the family anymore. Paul talking to the Corinthian people. Now remember, the Corinthian people were probably our best example of Christians who weren't perfect. Not that any church that Paul wrote to was perfect, because they were not. But in some ways, I feel Paul uses the church at Corinth as an example to the rest of us. So therefore, now we recognize no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh. Christ walked, talked, ate. Yet now we know Him in this way no longer. I mean, none of us here relate to Christ like we relate to anybody else in this room, do we? I mean, we, at this point in time, we can't shake His hand. We can't give him a hug. So we relate to him more in the spirit. So because of this, verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. I mean, when we put this passage together with what we learned in Romans, together with what we are now learning in Galatians, who is doing the work? I mean, in order for me to be a new creation, I can't just get dressed up differently. I can't just paint my nails. I just can't get a haircut, a tummy tuck. I mean, this wording here for new creation is, I mean, it's the same aspect that Jesus was talking about to Nicodemus when he said, you must be born again. You know, Nicodemus, not quite understanding what he was saying, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Crawl back up into my mother's womb and come back out again? Jesus said, no. Because even in that aspect, he could come out as the same person. Jesus is saying, no, you must have a complete new beginning. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. He is a new creation. Old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. This is a powerful verse. And I don't think we often give it the credence that we should. If I'm a new creature, why do I act so often like the old one? Where are the new things that have come? Because I keep seeing those old things that should have been passed away. But we keep viewing ourselves in the context of verse 16, according to the flesh. God creates something new in us. I mean, going back to Romans, where we talked about Him imputing His Spirit into us. We're new. We're not old. Verse 18, now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. They're from who? These things are from God. What did He do? He reconciled us to Himself through the work of Christ. And then what did He do for us? He gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Well, what is that? Does that mean I can, like the guys on TV, go around and touch people on the forehead and give them salvation? Can I do that? That's not what this is saying. God gives us, those who know Him, the gift of His reconciliation. He's reconciled us to Himself. And then He's given us the ministry of reconciliation. What do you think that is then? I mean, if I can't go and touch Joey here on the forehead and transfer part of my Holy Spirit into him, then what is the ministry of reconciliation? Could that be the message of the gospel? That we can now convey because we know him? I mean, if I'm a new creature, if God has reconciled himself to me, or reconciled me to himself through Christ, and if he then gives me the ministry of reconciliation, then I better be busy with the message that reconciles people to God. Paul explains it a little bit better, verse 19. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and so He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. I mean, there's a couple ways you can read this. God, through Christ, reconciling the word to himself. An interesting phrase. Not counting their trespasses against them. That's kind of interesting, isn't it? Because how does the world think? How does even a lot of the Christian world think? Or those seeking the Christian world. God would never want me because of this that I'm doing, or this that I have done, or because of all of this stuff. God would never want me. Not counting their trespasses against them. I mean, the only reason that I am here today as a servant of God is because I was just so good in and of myself. I mean, man, I was good. What do you mean, no? I mean, I think of others before myself. Most of the time. I don't lie much. I never have a bad thought that often. Uh-oh. Not counting their trespasses against them. Christ reconciling us to Himself, not counting our trespasses against us. I mean, we celebrated the sacrament of baptism last week. A lot of times, people have trouble with the waters of baptism for themselves because they don't see themselves as being worthy. They don't see themselves as coming to the point to where they are perfect enough. I mean, talking to them, they'll know they'll never be perfect. But there's some level of perfection that we feel we need to come to before we're baptized. We'll never get there. It's like two newlyweds in their first few years of marriage. Yes, we want to have children. But we want to wait until everything is just right. Does everything get just right? After 10, things are never just right. So if God accepts us for who we are, why do we have so much trouble accepting ourselves? And it's in this fashion that we go back to verse 17. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. God accepts us in Himself through Christ. And then He has given us a task to accomplish. He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. The word of reconciliation. So now we are new creatures. We're reconciled to Him. We have this ministry of reconciliation. And Paul clarifies even a little bit more in verse 20. Therefore we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were making an appeal through us, we beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Back to verse 11 that Ryan read this morning. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men. Well, what do you mean, Pastor Dan? I'm a committed and true Calvinist. I don't have to proclaim Christ. God is going to save whom He's going to save. Then why are we ambassadors? Why are we making an appeal? Why are we begging on the behalf of Christ for people to be reconciled to God? Why do we persuade men? Because God has made us new creations for a reason. God did not have to choose to use us in the salvation process. He didn't. He was perfectly capable of doing it all on His own. But He has made us the mouthpiece, the hands, the feet of His glorious message of salvation to the world. And He did that in such a remarkable way. A way that I really don't understand. Verse 21, He made Him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. There was a day, many, 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 many years ago, that there was two people that roamed this earth. One was named Adam, the other was named Eve. They were innocent. They had no sin charged to their account. They had no sin nature. But yet they were still made with the ability to sin. And I'm unsure whether Adam and Eve sinned the very first day that they were in the garden, or if it was 10 years. I kind of tend to believe it was pretty close to the beginning. And as they fell from God's grace, the Bible tells us that Adam became sin. For by one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, so that all have sinned. Do you ever get done doing something that you know you shouldn't have done? And you think to yourself, why did I do that? You did it because, and I'm not blame shifting, I'll qualify my statement. We do those things because of Adam. Or because of the result of what came from Adam. That each and every one of us was born with a sin nature. And we have a concept in this world that someday, sometime between the age of 7 and 10, we disobey mom and dad, or some law of the land, and we commit a sin that we're consciously aware of. And in our thinking and in a lot of our religious training out there in the Christianity of the day, we are taught then that the sin nature comes with that first sin. We're born with the sin nature. I mean, all I have to do is watch my beautiful, adorable, cute, wonderful 20-month-old granddaughter. The sparkle of my eye. Lana, come here. No. What do you mean no? Lana, don't throw that. Lana, don't take that toy away from Zoe. Sin is part of our life from the beginning. And we have no goodness within us at all. Sure. I might be better in the world's eyes than Ryan or Tom or George. But when that goodness is measured against Christ, it doesn't compare. So He, God, made Him, Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf. I mean, that's the whole message of Christmas and Easter. That He, who was perfect, came to earth, still perfect, born that blessed day in Bethlehem, a perfect being, innocent of sin, deity incapable of sin, who would some 33 years later be crucified on a cross to be made sin for us. Why? So that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. The Bible tells us all of our righteousness are as filthy rags. There is nothing we can do, no work whatsoever, that can bring us into a right standing with God. Doesn't matter how many times we say a prayer. It doesn't matter how many times we do a certain thing. It doesn't matter how much money we give to a church. There is nothing that can bring us into a right standing with God. But Christ can bring us into that right standing. He has helped us to become the righteousness of God in Him. Guys, that's so difficult for us to understand. It's so hard for us to realize that we can do nothing. If we've become a new creation, if old things have passed away and new things have come, we will begin to change. I mean, we love to preach, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this. It's harder to preach, God will do it for us. God will motivate the change that we need. This is a hard world to live in. Believe me, I understand. All the things that distract us. All those things that take our focus off of what we should be doing and put it on things of this world. But as we are the reconciliation of God, as we are His ambassadors, I'm pretty bad right now because I don't really know of any names of any of our current ambassadors to anywhere. But going back a few years, I remember Nikki Haley, the ambassador to the UN. Was there anywhere that she could go in this world that she was not an ambassador of the United States? I mean, surely she could go to Spain. I mean, she wasn't an ambassador there to Spain. She wasn't the appointed ambassador to Spain, but was she an ambassador still? China? South America? I have lots of excuses that I can use. Oh, God, my work is so busy, I can't be an ambassador for you at work. Do you know how many people I come in contact every day through my job? How many people you come in contact with every day through your job or school or whatever? I can't be an ambassador because I'm a mailman. I never see anybody. Well, our mailman was an ambassador to Glenn. He was an ambassador to his friend Jim that died not too long ago. He's an ambassador to every person he meets along his route. God has granted Ryan a special job right now. He's working with hospice. How many people in their last moments of life will he have the ability to be an ambassador to? I mean, and even though there really aren't any people that go to the University of Toledo, a little small school, right? Zach cannot discount his ambassadorship for Christ. And each and every one of us are in the exact same boat. We get so wrapped up in this world. We practice our ambassadorship of this world better than we represent Christ. Believe me, as somebody through the auspices of my wife have through our 30-something years experienced probably every multi-level marketing scheme that's out there. As I used to do little seminars on Melaleuca cleaning products. Tom smiles. He knows what it is, doesn't he? As we toyed with Amway for a while. As Beth was even buying soap that dissolved fat. It was out there. Vitamins. Essential oils. Guys, is there anything wrong with any of that? Maybe the fat soap, I don't know. But is there anything wrong with any of that stuff? But if we're more comfortable talking about Amway and whatever, then we are talking about Christ, then we need to reevaluate. Because Amway may, for the chosen few within it, bring them to financial freedom, the message that we have of the gospel will change a person's eternity. I wish I practiced this like I preach it. And God is using me and motivating me and moving me to where I am, getting better and better. And He will with you too, once we realize that we are a new creation. Father, thank You for this time that we spend. Lord, it's so easy to slide back into what we were, to take our focus off of who You are, to enjoy the sins for a season. But Father, help us to realize that we are ambassadors for You. Lord, whenever people see us, they should be seeing You in us. So give us the words to say when those doors are opened, that we might represent You well, as we are a new creation. First, in Christ's name we pray.